feet. One of the younger pharaohs lurched forward.
"You bastard," he croaked. "You laid us out and shut us away, one by one, and you went on. People thought the name was passed on, but it was always you. How old are you, Dios?"
There was no sound. No one moved. A breeze stirred the dust a little. Dios sighed.
"I did not mean to," he said. "There was so much to do. There were never enough hours in the day. Truly, I did not realize what was happening. I thought it was refreshing, nothing more. I suspected nothing. I noted the passing of the rituals, not the years."
"Come from a long-lived family, do you?" said Tepikaimon sarcastically.
Dios stared at him, his lips moving.
"Family," he said at last, his voice softened from its normal bark. "Family. Yes, I must have had a family, mustn't I? But you know, I can't remember. Memory is the first thing that goes. The pyramids don't seem to preserve it, strangely."
"This is Dios, the footnote keeper of history," said Tepikaimon.
"Ah," the high priest smiled. "Memory goes from the head, but it is all around me, every scroll and book."
"That's the history of the kingdom, man."
"Yes, my memory." The king relaxed a little. Sheer horrified fascination was unravelling the knot of fury.
"How old are you?" he said.
"I think 7,000 years. But sometimes it seems much longer."
"Really 7,000 years?
"Yes," said Dios.
"How could any man stand it?" said the king.
Dios shrugged.
7,000 years is just one day at a time," he said.
Slowly, with the occasional wince, he got down on one knee and held up his staff in shaking hands.
"Oh, kings," he said, "I have always existed only to serve."
There was a long, extremely embarrassed pause.
"We will destroy the pyramids," said Fa-Re-Ptah, pushing forward.
"You will destroy the kingdom," said Dios. "I cannot allow it."
"You cannot allow it?"
"Yes. What will we be without the pyramids?" said Dios.
"Speaking for the dead," said Fa-Re-Ptah, "we will be free.
But the kingdom will be just another small country," said Dios,
and to their horror the ancestors saw tears in his eyes.
"All that we hold dear, you will cast adrift in time, uncertain, without guidance, changeable."
"Then it can take its chances," said Tepikaimon. "Stand aside, Dios."
Dios held up his staff. The snakes around it uncoiled and hissed at the king.
"Be still," said Dios.
Dark lightning crackled between the ancestors. Dios stared at the staff in astonishment. It had never done this before. But 7,000 years of his priests had believed, in their hearts, that the staff of Dios could rule this world and the next. In the sudden silence there was the faint chink, high up, of a knife being wedged between two black marble slabs. The pyramid pulsed under Tepik, and the marble was as slippery as ice. The inward slope wasn't the help he had expected. The thing, he told himself, is not to look up or down, but straight ahead into the marble, parcelling the impossible height into manageable sections. Just like time. That's how we survive infinity. We kill it by breaking it up into small bits. He was aware of shouts below him and glanced briefly over his shoulder. He was barely a third of the way up, but he could see the crowds across the river, a grey mass speckled with the pale blobs of upturned faces. Closer too, the pale army of the dead, facing the small grey group of priests, with Dios in front of them. There was some sort of argument going on. The sun was on the horizon. He reached up, located the next crack, found a handhold. Dios spotted Pataclusp's head, peering over the debris, and sent a couple of priests to bring him back. 2B followed, his carefully folded brother under his arm.